The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It is 10 after 6. It is Monday, January 6th. Yes, the January 6th, 4 years. Boy, 4 years ago, it was quite a bit sportier. It's going to be a lot calmer in the capital today, in the nation's capital. We'll be talking a bit about that off and on throughout the morning because, not only are they going to certify President Trump's election, doesn't appear to be any drama really going to be connected with that, but there's an ice storm. So just about everybody else is staying home. So anybody that would go out there and wear the pink hats and everything else, it's way too cold. It's way too nasty in the nation's capital. And out here on the West Coast, gosh, very balmy. I mean, we're at 50 right now, probably going to hit about 54 later today. It's going to be very, very nice weather here and relatively dry over the next few days. And then it's going to crank down. We'll get back into some colder temperatures. Remember, we were talking about this last week with Greg Roberts over at Rogue Weather. Hugh Hewitt, I ended up having Hugh Hewitt on in place of this morning with Gordon Deal today because he had President Trump on for the final segment. And if you were listening between 5:30 and 6, yeah, you heard it. I'll play part of it. Actually, I might be able to squeeze most, if not all of it in before the 6:30 break. And I might play it again later this morning. It's something worth hearing because there was a lot of good conversation on where he wanted to take the country. But if you join Hugh Hewitt late this morning between 5 and 6, I'll get that going on. I just think it's too important to hear what he is going on. Some of our top stories around here, though, of course, our congressional delegation ended up getting sworn in on Friday. No particular drama there. Cliff Bent saying he's going to work really hard to get the Republicans to help get America in better shape. And Cliff's going to have his work cut out for them, as all the Republicans will too. But fortunately, with President Trump, one vote majority, maybe two votes, it's going to be a real challenge keeping everybody whipped together. And just understand that. And that's why when I was talking about it on Friday, it's not where you don't lower expectations, but you have to moderate what, you know, there may have to be some deals cut. Even Hugh Hewitt asked President Trump, well, would you put something in the big budget, you know, the big, beautiful deal? Would you put it in with, would you put a Dreamer take in there, something to help the Dreamers, give them some permanent legal status? And he said he would talk about it, but we'll hear that more on Hugh's interview coming up. But those are the kind of things that may come up. A lot of people just, of course, I don't know. I'm at this point where, people who were brought here as kids, you know, did we punish them for the sins of the parents? I don't know. They've been here, you know, they don't know Mexico or any other nation for that matter. So we'll talk a bit about that. So he is leaving that open to discussion. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily yes, but we'll see. All right. Now, Providence bracing for a huge strike. This is a big deal and is asking all sorts of doctors, to help them out here. And Oregon Nurses Association, it's kind of interesting. They were talking about how Providence can't be trusted, and yet we're supposed to be trusting Providence. How do you get past calling your boss just a nasty jerk, which is what the Oregon Nurses Association was doing last week in their press release there? How do you get past that and then come back to work that, oh, you gave us some more money, and now we're happy, and now you're not a jerk, and now you're not untrustworthy? That's pretty interesting. But that's going to be a big deal. Something which is not getting talked about, though, and I don't know if it's just kind of on the down low or maybe I'm just misinterpreting it. I'm getting people calling me from behind the scenes in the medical world. I'm going to try to reach out to Asante because not only do we have challenges over at Providence, but the talk is that Asante has run through all of its business insurance. This is the rumor. Now, I haven't been able to get this confirmed, but the rumor is that Asante has reached the cap, on their ability to have insurance cover the cost of these drug diversion cases, you know, the Danny Schofield cases. And it is a real challenge. And remember, way back in the beginning, we were talking about this being kind of an existential threat kind of thing for the going concerns of Asante. Just my opinion. You just look at, you know, stuff like this can really take people down. and that there could be some talks of merger with another firm of some sort. And I can't really get all that specific to it, but you know, we do have a very interesting time here in Southern Oregon with nurses going after Providence, and the legal system could be causing some real heartburn. This is what I've been hearing from behind the scenes, and maybe you could, if there are any people in the medical world that might be able to confirm some of this of what is going on, that providers that Asante has had for a long, long time have just had their contracts being canceled at the end of the year, at the end of last year. Now, maybe this is just something routine. They go and get different ones. But between that and then another individual telling me, oh, yeah, well, they've run through up to the limits on their business coverage, on their ability to insure the business. I guess this is what malpractice or all the rest of it. You know, who knows? Like I said, this is just what I'm hearing. I have not been able to confirm it, but I think it is just something to, you know, be aware of. Now, I'm not saying that that doors aren't open. That's not the case at all. But medical system down here in Southern Oregon is in big flux from the looks of it. That is for sure. And it may be more than just the Oregon Nurses Association strike against Asante, which could be coming up here quite shortly. This is the Bill Myers Show, 16 minutes after 6, and we're going to play part of Hugh Hewitt's interview with President Trump here next, and we'll do that. Also coming up a little bit later, oddly enough, some guests that are reflecting some things that that President Trump has been talking a lot about. You know how he's joking about, we should take over Canada. Well, the talk is that Justin Trudeau is probably going to resign today. And I'm going to be talking with Leighton Gray. He's an attorney in Canada, and he also has a podcast, Gray Matter Podcast. And he says that actually a merger of Canada and the United States would be the best thing that could ever happen to Canada. Huh. And they have single-payer health care. I don't know. But we'll get his take on that. Also going to be talking about the H-1B visa issue with Dr. David Kadani. And he says that is one of the biggest security leaks that we have. I would say there's some other, that just about all of the student visas are also a problem too, but we'll talk about that and more all coming up.
Just look at it.
Yeah, it looks great in the moonlight.
And talk about quiet operation. We're not waking up the neighbors.
So smooth and sleek. American Industrial Door knows their stuff.
Okay, it's my turn. Give me the remote.
Mom? Dad?
Yeah.
Are you going to stop playing with the new garage door soon?
Go back to bed, sweetie.
If your garage door is keeping you up at night, it should be for all the right reasons. Visit AmericanIndustrialDoor.net.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
Disasters happen, and Oregon faces a range of disaster threats, including earthquakes, floods, and storms. You are now by taking three important steps. Step 1. Contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step 2. Create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step 3. Gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of disaster. Be disaster ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/prepare now to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Thanks, Jan. I'm out here on location looking at a roof that needs to be replaced. Here's your future weather forecast if you have a roof like this one. Brought to you by our new sponsor, Fontana Roofing. And they're right on time. Nice ladder.
What?
Eventually, you can expect heavy showers causing leaks, creating an interior water feature you neither anticipated or desired. Nickel-sized hail may develop, causing severe damage to the granules. And high winds are also possible, sending shingles airborne, like throwing stars hurled by a dangerous ninja.
What?
Also expect relentless heat waves, further deteriorating the roofing material. Protection from the elements starts by calling Fontana Roofing.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, but I like him.
Well, he needs to get off the roof.
Maybe he can do play-by-play on our expert roof replacement. How about it?
Yeah, sure. I'm better at sports. But first, a word from our sponsor, Fontana Roofing. Visit them at FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, I'm Lamont from Orleans, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Good morning. 21 after 6. A little earlier, Hugh Hewitt had President Trump, President-elect Trump, and they talked about a lot of the issues. We'll play part of that now and some more of it a little bit later this morning, too. And the first question had to do with Mike Johnson and wanting that big, beautiful budget deal, the one big deal.
Well, I favor one bill. I also want to get everything passed. And, you know, there are some people that don't necessarily agree with it. So I'm open to that also. My preference is one big, as I say, one big, beautiful bill. Now, to do that takes longer. You know, to submit it takes longer, actually. But so it's a longer process. I would say that I'd live with that. I believe we'd get, I don't know, to me it just is a cleaner, it's cleaner, it's nicer. Now, with that being said, we'd get some border work done a little bit earlier, et cetera, et cetera. But the border work, you know, we have a lot of money that we're going to be clawing back from the Green New Scam and all of the trillions of dollars, billions and trillions. You usually have to use the word trillions nowadays, unfortunately. But from the trillions of dollars that we're going to be clawing back, and we have money. We don't need it desperately, immediately. You know, if 2 months is going to make a difference. So I can just say this. The border is going to be secure. We're going to start it immediately. Tom Holman is central casting. He's going to do a great job, and that whole group is going to be fantastic. And I did it before, and we're going to do it again. We had the best border we've ever had, and now we'll have the best border we've ever had, times two. I would prefer one, but I will do whatever needs to be done to get it passed. And, we have a lot of respect for Senator Thune, as you know. He may have a little bit of a different view of it. I heard other senators yesterday, including Lindsey, talking about it. They prefer it the other way. So I'm open to either way, as long as we get something passed as quickly as possible.
The reason I want one bill is because tax certainty matters to small business people like me and like everyone listening to the show. They got to know what the rules are going to be in 2026. You've got a great Trump tax cuts, but they're expiring at the end of the year. The sooner we know, you're a businessman, you know, the better off we are.
Well, it would be awfully hard to imagine. You know, in the old days, politicians would get up and talk about tax cuts, right? We will cut your taxes. We will cut your taxes. That was like a sure way to get elected. Because the Democrat Party is so loused up, it's so terrible. And so they've lost their confidence. They've lost a lot of confidence. But they get up and they're the only party I've ever heard that say, we're going to raise your taxes. With that being said, I can't imagine that they would not approve. This would be the largest tax increase in the history of the world, okay? I mean, let alone in this country. And I can't imagine the Democrats would do that to this country and do that to the people just because they happen to dislike Republicans or me.
Yeah, I can't either, but they are Democrats, so we don't know. Mr. President, you've got four big things coming up in this term. You've got our 250th birthday on July 4th next year, 2026. But we actually have the 250th birthday of Lexington and Concord in April. That's a big deal. That's the shot heard around the world. Are you going to go up there for a speech on the 250th anniversary?
I like the idea. I think so. People have talked about it. I would do it.
Then you've got the Olympics. You've got the World Cup. You have the very sad 25th anniversary of 9/11 coming up. Which of these do you think is going to be the most fun in terms, and obviously not 9/11, but is Olympics, World Cup, the 250th birthday, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I got them, and it was very interesting. They called me, the World Cup, I did that with Gianni and the people at the World Cup, and I got them. They wanted it here, and they really fought very hard, and I was the one that got it when I was president. And so I said to myself, you know, the sad part is, This is before the election, before a certain election that took place that we won't talk about. I said the sad part is I got the Olympics and I got the World Cup for our country, and I will not be there as president. And look what happened. I'm going to be there as president. So it's sort of very nice. And obviously the 25th anniversary, it's hard to use the word anniversary, but that 25th anniversary is also very important.
It's going to be very, very somber. I'm looking forward to your speech that day. But I'm really looking forward. The bicentennial, not the bicentennial, the 250th birthday will be quite a big day. Mr. President, Powerline Guys posted your testimony about the UN from 2005 over the weekend, so a lot of people got to see that. I have told everyone I've ever known, watch that testimony. That's Donald Trump, the developer, talking about getting things done. Is that the same momentum you're bringing in this time? You just want to get things done?
Got to get things done. We don't get them done. I see it just came over that Biden has banned all oil and gas drilling across 625 million acres of U.S. coastal territory. It's ridiculous. I'll unban it immediately. I will unban it. I have the right to unban it immediately. What's he doing? Why is he doing it? You know, we have something that nobody else has. I mean, nobody has to the extent we have it, and it'll be more by the time we finish because I'll be able to expand. You know, we're going to expand our country, and it'll be more. We have oil and gas, and whether you manufacture widgets or gadgets or whatever you happen to be doing, some countries have to work very hard to do that. We do, too, and we will, but we have oil and gas at a level that nobody else has, and we're going to take advantage of it. And when I see somebody saying he's going to ban 625 million acres, he doesn't know what that is. He doesn't even know what 625 million acres would look like, and we can't let that happen to our country. It's our greatest, it's really our greatest economic asset, and we're not going to let that happen to our country.
I saw that. I don't believe he's making any of these decisions. He might be saying, someone might be guiding his hand, but do you think he's competent for the last 2 weeks, Mr. President?
Well, the things he's doing with Soros and other elements, giving very, very important, you know, distinguished awards, medals, and certifying that they are wonderful people for our nation. These are people that have done tremendous harm in cases. I don't know. I really don't believe that. This is the same man that I used to watch 25 years ago. He was sort of semi-conservative. I wouldn't call him conservative, but he was a little bit in the middle at least. And now he's gone radical left, and they just lost an election because they were radical left, and they're going to lose another one. They're going to lose a lot of elections if they keep this going. But you're giving up the biggest assets that we have. I mean, all of that. If you ever look at it on a map, what 625 million acres is, he's giving this all up.
It's extraordinary, and I think it's an abuse of that statute, and I do think you can reverse it, if not.
The good news is I can change it immediately. Yeah. It'll be changed on day one. I can change it immediately. Now, they'll do everything they can to make it as difficult as possible. You know, they talk about a transition. They're always saying, oh, no, we want to have a smooth transition from party to party, of government. Well, they're making it really difficult. They're throwing everything they can in the way. They're giving out trillions of dollars in nonsense, in Green New Deal crap that isn't worth a damn thing. In fact, it's a negative for the country, not a positive. And they're giving out money at levels that nobody's ever seen just to get the money. They're throwing it at people.
They're throwing it at Syria this morning. The State Department announced this morning they're sending humanitarian aid to Syria. We don't know who's running Syria. I don't know who's running the State Department, but it's kind of crazy.
It's what they're doing. They're just taking money and throwing it hand over fist. It's money that should have never been given to them anyway. It should have been blocked. And I mean, it's sad, so sad that they got it. But they're throwing it, and they're throwing it in any direction. They just want to get rid of it. It's the worst abuse of power I've ever seen.
So, Mr. President, let's turn to Israel.
Other than what they did to me, of course.
Okay, yes, let's go to Israel. We'll get to Jack Smith in a moment. I'll get to the archivist in a moment. Will Israel have a friend in the White House again? Because Joe Biden's been a yo-yo with Israel. You know, will you continue military aid uninterrupted, depart from the Biden policy of micromanaging? We got about a minute down the line, folks. Go ahead.
Well, I'm the best friend that Israel ever had. You look at what happened with all of the things that I've gotten, including Jerusalem being the capital, the embassy getting built. I got it built. I not only said we're going to, I said, you know, we got it built. We have a beautiful embassy. All of the different things, the magnificent Mount on High, you know what I'm talking about there. Everyone said that couldn't be done, and I got it done. It was what we've done. And, of course, the Abraham Accords. You look at the Abraham Accords. Every single thing that – every major event that's happened to Israel over the last fairly short period of time has been given through me. So,
6:30, and that, of course, Hugh Hewitt with President Trump, I should say, with Hugh Hewitt a little bit earlier this morning. Wanted to make sure you heard some of the meat of that. And there's a bit more of that. We'll play that a bit later on in the program, okay? We'll catch up all the rest of the news here in just a moment. Leighton Gray, might Canada merging with the United States be the best thing that ever happened for Canada? What about us? We'll talk about that coming up.
Changing weather norms means changes to water quality. Be sure your drinking water is safe. The highs and lows of water levels, increasing cases of contamination, and land use changes can all impact your water quality. The only way to know if your water is safe is to have it tested. Call on Grants Pass Water Lab for fast service, help understanding your results, and affordable pricing. You'll find them online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for more than 40 years.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregon's congressional delegation was sworn into the 119th Congress on Friday. Freshman Representative Janelle Bynum issued a statement saying she's honored and humbled to fight for the 5th District. Oregon's only GOP representative, Cliff Bent, says he'll work with his Republican colleagues to deliver solutions that put Americans first. Flooding and a landslide led to the closure of two state parks on the southern Oregon coast. Cape Arago and Shore Acres State Parks are closed after a landslide undercut a portion of Cape Arago Highway. Sunset Bay State Park was evacuated Friday morning due to flooding. The day use area is still open but could close. If flooding continues, there is no estimate for when the Cape Arago Highway will be repaired. Two Oregon children have died from the flu, the Oregon Health Authority says, while the state continues to face an intense flu season. According to a new OHA report, nearly 500 flu hospitalizations have occurred this flu season. Bill London, KMED.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer here in the Rogue Valley and truly care about their customers. As a customer, you can count on Blue Star Gas to provide excellent service for decades and generations to come. For more information, visit BlueStarGas.com. That's BlueStarGas.com.
Stephen Westfall, Inc. is thrilled to announce the winner of their second metal roof giveaway for a well-deserving veteran. After sifting through countless inspiring nominations, it's with great pleasure that the Westfalls reveal Michael K. of Rogue River as the winner of a top-of-the-line metal roof. To everyone who nominated a veteran, your heartfelt stories touched our hearts, and we appreciate your support. Once again, congratulations to Michael, and thank you for your service. Stay tuned for more exciting updates and to hear Michael's story.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Tens of millions of Americans from the plains and the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic getting a heavy dose of wintry weather this morning from a major snow and ice storm. Despite the wintry blast, Congress will meet today in a joint session to certify the election of Donald Trump as president and J.D. Vance as vice president. By the way, D.C. is supposed to get up to a foot of snow today. Embattled Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau may be on his way out. Multiple media outlets report the Liberal Party leader will be resigning this week, perhaps as soon as today. Former President Carter's body lies in repose at the Carter Center in Atlanta, where thousands of mourners have been paying their respects to Mr. Carter. President Biden and the First Lady to visit New Orleans today. They'll be meeting with families of the victims of the New Year's Day terror attack. Stocks opening higher this morning on Wall Street. More details, srnnews.com.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Appreciate you waking up here, 6:34. Even if we are just a little bleary-eyed after the long holiday weekend, even though I was working Thursday, Friday, a lot of people, they still take the rest of that first week of the year off. But, hey, we're back. Everyone is happy, apparently. Hey, Leighton Gray joins me. He's the host of the Gray Matter podcast, and he is a litigator by trade. And he ended up taking a leap into the world of podcasting because you're looking for a search for truth and justice. Boy, you got to look pretty hard for that sometimes, don't you, Leighton? Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
On your program.
Okay, pleasure. Now, what do you do on the Gray Matter podcast, if you don't mind? First, why don't we give a little plug for what you're doing there?
Well, as people are probably aware, freedom of speech is very much under attack in Canada. I realized this going back a few years ago during the pandemic, and so about 3 years ago, I decided to start a podcast that would talk about some of the issues in politics, religion, and really the philosophy of our lives that are not being reported truthfully in media. And so that's the focus of our podcast. Normally I'll produce a commentary on a topic like the one we're discussing today per week, and also have an interesting guest on the program.
What do you believe, Leighton, is probably the biggest misunderstanding between how Canada really is and the way perhaps Americans have Canada presented to them? Could you take a stab at that?
This is a great question. Robin Williams, the late Robin Williams, the comedian, he had a funny joke. He said he described Canada as a loft apartment over a great party. And I think that the one thing that Americans maybe misunderstand is how culturally close Canada is to the United States. We really have shared origins going back to Great Britain, all the way back to the Revolution, even pre-Revolution. And so that really the sort of culture, popular culture of Canada is very, very similar to that of the United States. The other thing that I think would surprise Americans is that Canadians have been indoctrinated into the belief that we are somehow superior morally to the United States. And this goes back to the idea that, you know, we didn't revolt against the king. We didn't rebel.
Oh.
Our country was formed out of a peaceful, essentially legal process. This is an indoctrination. It's an untruth. And more Canadians are waking up to the idea that we're not superior to Americans. We don't have a better way of doing things. We aren't more peaceful. We aren't smarter. That this is a lot of stuff and nonsense. And in fact, many Canadians are waking up to the idea that, wow, Americans maybe have it right, because in your most recent election, you've turned towards freedom. You've turned towards prosperity. You've turned away from a lot of the things that Justin Trudeau stands for and has been using to destroy our country over the past decade or so.
Now, Leighton, just a few minutes ago, of course, the stories are out there, reports that Justin Trudeau is likely going to resign today. And what does that mean for the future of Canada? Who would replace him, or who might replace him? I don't necessarily understand the politics of the Canadian government.
Yeah. Well, you're right. He's facing significant internal pressure from his own party now to resign, much like Joe Biden experienced for different reasons during the election campaign. But, you know, the calls for his departure come amidst historically low approval ratings for his party and the recent resignation of really key figures within his cabinet. Essentially, the person who's the equivalent of his vice president not only resigned, but sort of threw him under the bus and drove over him three times. And so despite this mounting pressure, Trudeau's been actively trying to engage in his governmental duties, you know, including trying to chair a Canada-U.S. Relations Cabinet Committee meeting, which is basically aimed at trying to figure out what the hell to do about Mr. Trump's tariffs that he's about to impose on Canada, which is another thing Americans maybe don't realize, the impact that has had, and indeed the impact that the election of Donald Trump has had upon Canada and the Canadian political situation. I think that Justin Trudeau, who supported Barack Obama and also supported Joe Biden in the most recent U.S. presidential election, he knows he's no friend to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as you know, is very transactional, has made this very clear. I think the writing was on the wall for Justin Trudeau in terms of his leadership. As soon as that November 5th election result was in, in fact, I predicted at that time that Justin Trudeau would be gone by Valentine's Day. He's ahead of schedule, to my great pleasure.
What is the, or shall we say, what was the straw that broke the Canadian camel back, in your view, politically, with Justin Trudeau?
Well, it's been a combination of things. I think what Americans need to understand, and perhaps many do, is that Canada has become a CCP client state. We are the avatar for all things woke. All the things that Americans rejected, that the Democrats recently, are not only existing in Canada, but are much more advanced because they've had a lot more time. But the main thing with Justin Trudeau is I think MAGA has had a huge impact, because I see MAGA not just as a political movement, but as a Made in America response to globalism. And Justin Trudeau and his government stand for globalism. I think that actually he's taking his cues from people outside of our country. And I think many Canadians, most Canadians, have awakened to the reality that Justin Trudeau and his government are not governing Canadians in a way that is in their best interest. And again, this is much the way that I think many Americans felt about the Biden administration.
What is an example that how Trudeau governed that was against the actual interests of Canadians? Now, I remember back during COVID time, of all the Western democracies, Justin Trudeau was particularly punitive. I can still recall what happened to the punishment of the truckers and the financial repression of people, too. You know, and if you weren't going to get in line with the narrative, as it were, well, then we're going to just take your money or make sure you can't get to it. And we see some of that here in the United States, too. And there's, you know, this... And so it's like, yeah, we may be a little bit cleaner than Canada in some ways here, Leighton, but it's only by a matter of degrees.
Yes. And it depends where you are in the United States as well.
Yes.
Whereas in Canada is a much smaller country. But I think to answer your question about the straw that broke the camel's back, I think it's mass immigration. The character of Canada is changing daily because of the massive numbers of people who are coming here from other parts of the world. They don't accept our values. They don't accept Western culture. They're anti-Christian. They're protesting about it. They're telling us that they're going to take over the country. Americans saw some of these protests, and it's manifested itself as, in terms of anti-Semitism in your country. That has happened in Canada as well, but to a much greater degree, to the point where the Justin Trudeau government has even legislated Islamophobia and made it illegal for anybody to even criticize the Muslim faith, which, as you know, unfortunately, has been the author of terrorism for many centuries.
But if I were to interject here, on the other hand, if you were to actually profess Christian privileges that were against the trans agenda, that would also get you in trouble with Trudeau's government, does it not, in many cases?
That's hate speech. Yes, they've legislated hate speech in Canada, much the same way that you've seen in Great Britain. And the way that, that Mr. Walz and Kamala Harris wanted to end the United States in spite of the First Amendment. And so, yes, that's another feature of Trudeau. But I think the real issue overall is that he's just become a detestable figure. He governs Canada as a prince, spends millions of dollars on expensive vacations, has a gigantic entourage that I think is larger than Mr. Trump's. He cannot even go out in public anywhere, can't even cross in between buildings without being vilified and castigated by Canadians. He really is a hated figure right now. And the fact that he's hanging around this long, when over 70% of Canadians want him out as our prime minister, you know, is a sign of the sort of the despair that's descended upon Canada, and it needs to end.
Leighton Gray is the host of the Gray Matter podcast, and on my side, I will certainly put up everything so that you can find out more about Leighton. We're talking today about the Trudeau administration and how Canada is being governed. You ended up putting out a piece recently, or a claim that you think that Canada could be doomed unless the United States were to actually merge with it or were to come in. And I know that there was a lot of controversy when President Trump was talking about that, but you think there's actually some truth to what's going on behind with that claim? I'd like to hear
it. Well, I don't think it's news to anyone. I think going back all the way again to the Revolution and then again to the War of 1812 and even as recently as the World War II when they were sort of looking at remapping the world, America has always had a plan, a contingency plan, for making Canada part of the Union. Mm-hmm. And this would seem to be an opportune time. Canada is really flagging and failing economically, socially, politically. We're not able to keep up our obligations under NATO. We're a heavily taxed country. And we pose a geopolitical threat to the safety and security of the United States. Donald Trump has talked about this. It's absolutely shameful to a Canadian that Canada is a net exporter of the filth of fentanyl to the United States. Our borders are not secure. We can't protect our borders. Last year, when these Chinese weather balloons were going over North America, the ones that flowed over Canada, we had to ask the U.S. Air Force to come on into Canadian airspace to shoot them down because we didn't have the materiel or the personnel to do it.
Really?
So I think there are many reasons to sort of reconsider what North America would look like. And it might be to the benefit of all. And I would encourage our leaders to look at that seriously, because ultimately it's not about who's in governance. It's about the governed and what their best interests are.
Leighton Gray here once again. You were talking about how things are very different in Trudeau's Canada, depending on which province you are living in. And it's very much the same as the different states that you live in the United States. Mm-hmm. I'm on the West Coast. You're in the Alberta province, yeah. If I understand correctly, right?
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Is the real hotbed of Chinese communist activity out in the Vancouver, Victoria area? Is that pretty much what you are alluding to with the takeover? Because it seems like the entire West Coast has bent the knee to a lot of Chinese communism over the years.
Yes, I think the culture of that part of Canada is very much like the West Coast of the United States. For example, California, mm-hmm. and Oregon. Whereas you look at places like Toronto, they're very much like New York and the Eastern Seaboard in the U.S. Alberta is a bit of an outpost, and a lot of it has to do with our frontier history. Alberta is just north of Montana. And at one time, we had the largest population of Americans anywhere in the world outside of the United States. And that's because of the connections of the oil industry and going back all the way to the cattle industry and even to the fur trade. And, of course, the old Yukon Gold Rush. And so we have a very strong American culture in Canada and a very Christian culture. You know, in the 20th century, three of our leaders, they're called premiers in Canada, they're sort of like our governors, were actually radio Bible preachers.
Really?
So we have a very deep culture of evangelical Christianity in Alberta. And those roots are still here. And so we maintain very strong ties to the United States. In fact, in many ways, much closer than we do to the rest of Canada. And so that's why Alberta is a little bit different in our culture. And, you know, it's not a surprise that people like me who are critics of Trudeau are in the West as opposed to in the eastern part of the country.
That makes a lot of sense there. Do you think that the damage is reversible in Canada, though? Because there's been a lot of rock put in the United States, too. And Donald Trump, of course, really is a symptom of that reaction, that revulsion to the rot, the cultural rot of many years, I think, many decades.
Yeah. That's the question of the day, not only in your country, but also in Canada. The problem we face in Canada is that the rot, as you describe it, goes back all the way to Justin Trudeau's father, who was our longest-serving prime minister from 1968 to 1984. He was a dyed-in-the-wool communist. He was sort of Canada's Barack Obama, and he started a lot of the processes that are flourishing right now in terms of destruction of our cherished institutions, the wokeification, if you will, the introduction of Marxism in our schools and in our major institutions. And so there's a great deal of work to be done. Is it reversible? Well, we know all things are possible for God, and I think that's the main thing. That's the main problem I think Canada has fundamentally. When you once you get down into the rocks of it, is that we've become a very secular country, and you know, secular is just a nice way of saying atheistic. And I think that our countries in the United States and Canada were formed under God, with God at the head of the state. And I think that means a lot of things in terms of cultural Christianity, all the freedom and prosperity, all the values that we enjoy in the West that made it the greatest place in the world to live, maybe in history, all stream back to the fountainhead of Christianity and Judeo-Christian values. And without that, I don't think there's much hope for Canada or the future.
Interesting. Leighton, once again, Leighton Gray is the attorney and host of the Gray Matter podcast. It is 10 before 7 on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Leighton, we really appreciate you taking advantage of coming on to the program this morning and sharing a little bit about what's going on, especially this very important day in which Justin Trudeau is rumored to be leaving. Okay. And I don't think too many people will be really upset about that. How does I've always wanted to ask someone. I've heard mixed reports about how, you know, one of the major differences culturally is between the United States and Canada has been the medical system, and it's been a real mm-hmm. bone of contention for quite some time.
Yeah.
And yeah. Some are saying that the single payer, the way you're working, is a far superior way of working life. Here in the United States of America, it's mixed. We have really kind of a half single pay with Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, and a half very overburdened private insurance kind of world right now. And they're saying that the way we solve is to become like Canada. How does it really work, in your opinion?
Poorly. Sir Winston Churchill famously said that socialism is the ideology of failure. And this is true in all of its applications and manifestations, including healthcare. Canada's healthcare system is failing. Anybody who can afford to go to the United States for important medical care does so. I can tell you that myself and many of my friends actually carry U.S. Insurance. I'll give you an example. My father-in-law a few years ago was on a two-year waiting list to get a routine hip replacement. I was able to get him into a clinic in Phoenix with an expatriate Canadian doctor, mind you, within a few days. And he got his hip replacement, and he was back playing golf within a few months. So with the whole idea of Canada having a superior medical care system is farcical. It's a lie that's being told to your people. In fact, the only two countries that we would consider industrialized that have a single payer system are Canada and North Korea. That's not very good company for us, is it?
No, I wouldn't think so. And it seems to be getting worse as of late. So really long waiting periods for major for major procedures. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's so bad. It's so bad that people who are really sick are routinely offered something called medical assistance in dying, which is where the government offers to harvest your organs. And nearly 1 in 20 Canadians are now killing themselves voluntarily with the assistance of the state. So Canada, at the same time, has the most permissive abortion laws in the world. By the way, 45 million babies died last year worldwide. That's three times the number of people who died in all of World War One. But we not only do we are we killing babies freely in this country, our people are killing ourselves. And suicide, medically assisted suicide, is the fifth leading cause of death in Canada. So that gives you an idea of the kind of despair that's descended over this country, and it needs to change. And this has all happened within the last 10 years under the dreadful Trudeau regime, which I'm praying every day will come to an end.
Now, in the state of Oregon, we're in the red section, and some would say semi-purple section of Oregon, in the southern part of Oregon. So we have a lot of issues with our governing socialists up in Salem, okay? Just so you understand what we're all about. But it is amazing how death-focused socialist states are. You know, like you're saying, you know, here we have they call it death with dignity. But I guess in your particular case, if in Canada, if you cost too much for medical treatment, well, here's a pill and take one and you'll feel better forever. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's one of the worst ideas that the Nazis had. You know, euthanasia. It really is. It's an anti-human concept, along with abortion, which ties perfectly into the globalism that I spoke of earlier. Remember, the globalists want to destroy 7/8 of the world's population. And the way that they get there, in terms of boots on the ground, is through things like medical assistance in dying and through mass abortion. That's how we do it. This is why the whole impetus for having massive numbers of people coming to the United States and Canada from the third world is our low birth rates. Well, what's driving the low birth rates? And now we have on top of that higher death rates because people are killing themselves. So you get to see through the veneer what the globalists are really all about and really how destructive they are. And this is the hour when all of this must change. And praise God that you have someone like Mr. Trump who's come in and he's committed to putting an end to it in the United States. And I think he's having a significant impact around the world, including in Canada.
Leighton, I'm going to ask a question that might cause you to... I don't know how you'll answer to this one. I'm going to throw it to you anyway. You're big on ending the globalist horde, and I agree with you. I think it's just been one of the most anti-human, just evil moves that has been. Is there a possibility, though, that merging the United States with Canada, or Canada with the United States, let's say, would actually foster more globalism? And the reason I bring this up, number of years ago, I can still remember the conversations with a former Mexican President Vicente Fox when he was talking about the George Bush administration at that time. This was shortly after 9/11, in that post-9/11 world. And he was talking about, and they were asking him, well, is there going to be this merger with the with Mexico? It's just, oh, and he said, oh, long term, there's going to be, that we will be, getting together like that. And then there's a part of me that wonders if, you know, the first thing they do is that, okay, first it's Canada, and then it becomes the United States of America. But it's still kind of a bigger, more lumbering kind of government. In other words, we take an already big and incompetent government in many ways and make it even bigger, more of a, and so it might actually help globalism or help the cause. What would you say to that?
Well, there is a kernel of truth in that, except that when you compare the United States, let's say, to the European Union, what you have in the European Union, and which has really fostered globalism, is the surrender of sovereignty of formerly sovereign nation states into this this conglomerate, which is the EU, and operates in a very undemocratic fashion. What you have in the United States is something quite unique in that it's a constitutional republic in which the powers of the individual states are respected. And you've seen some very recent Supreme Court decisions in your country that have really fortified this and reaffirmed this, that the states have a lot of individual power and jurisdiction. And, of course, I think that is a great bulwark against the type of globalism that you are talking about. The United States is a union of states. Yes, it is a nation state, but it's a union of states. It was that in the beginning. It still is that. And so if Canada came on and joined the United States in that fashion, and let's say it became a 51st state, then it would be part of that union governed by those constitutional principles, which are both historically and globally unique. So yep. I think the manner in which the United States is governed is a great bulwark itself against globalism.
Interesting. How large is the population of Canada at this moment?
About 1/9 what the United States is, about 40 million.
About 40 million.
Most of that is in the east. Alberta, for example, has a population of only about 4.5 million people.
Well, that's about the size of Oregon. You're the size of Oregon,
right?
State of Oregon,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, yes. And but I mean, there are many benefits of it in terms of trade. Canada is a very resource rich country. We have the third largest oil and gas deposit anywhere in the world. We have massive deposits of uranium, which has obvious application to all things nuclear. We have a lot of gold, a lot of diamond,
And if you were part of the family, something tells me that President Trump would not be looking at tariffs any longer, right? That kind of goes away.
No, of course not. Of course not. I don't see how tariffs would benefit. The tariffs with Canada would benefit the United States, let alone Canada. It'd be disastrous for Canada because we're so dependent on trade with the United States. But I don't think that those tariffs, I don't think he's serious about those tariffs. I think that he's going to find better ways to deal with Canada in terms of trade. But
better to find a deal that is win-win. He's very big on win-win, I think, on this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he will. And he's very transactional. But I think when he brought Justin Trudeau down there to Mar-a-Lago before Christmas, I think he told him that the jig was up, that he did not, unless Justin Trudeau got on board with MAGA, things were going to be very, very tough for Justin Trudeau. And Justin Trudeau didn't get the memo. And he's finding out too late that this is the end of his, of let's pardon the pun, his Communist Party up in Canada.
From your lips, I hope that is the case, Leighton. Leighton Gray is host of the Gray Matter podcast. And do you have a main website for all of this? Because, like I said, you talk a lot on these sort of issues.
Yeah, the best place to find us in Canada, because our media is so restricted, is on X. And people can find us at Gray Matter Convo. That's at Gray Matter Convo. All of our content is there. And if people like what they see, please follow us and share. We have a lot of U.S. Content, great U.S. authors and commentators on our site. So it isn't just for people who are interested in Canada.
Leighton, I really appreciate getting a chance to meet you, and I'm hoping to have you back. I'm going to keep you in the contacts here for sure, because I really enjoyed the talk about what's going on here, because we are kind of wedded. We're wedded on the same content, or on the same continent, rather, and it would be great to see more of a friendly relationship rather than this push-me-pull-you relationship that we've had for quite some time. Leighton Gray, once again, thank you so much for having been on the show. We will have you back. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford KBXG Grants Pass. It's a minute after 7.
Hi, it's John at Wilburn's Weapons.
Apply.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Vicky's in the Applegate, kind of foggy this morning. You were wondering about that Canadian talk I had with Leighton Gray. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
So I just had a couple of questions. Is for one, if Canada decided to merge with the United States, how would they go about that? Is it a vote of the people to say, yes, we want to be part of the United States? Would they then adopt our constitution?
I look at, I've been looking into, a little bit of this, and it's, first off, it starts with a lot of negotiation. Is what it does, because there are all sorts of ways that Congress, and of course, I would imagine through presidential treaty that you could submit then to the Senate for ratifying, that might be one way of going about it. But a lot of the horse trading, I think, Vicky would go into. All right, how many? Because even one state, you probably wouldn't want to bring Canada in under a one state kind of thing. It would be more.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you'd probably have, and it could be even the provinces come in as their own states to an extent. Like as an example, Alberta, where Leighton lives, about 4.5 million. Well, it'd be kind of like Oregon. So you get another senator. And maybe 3-4 representatives, that kind of thing. The Vancouver side of things has more population. But it would certainly upset the political apple cart. There'd be a lot to talk about because you're talking about different numbers of senators at that point and reps.
Right.
And, there's a lot of moving parts. It's kind of a long-term sort of thing, but it's starting to stir many of the Canadians' imaginations, as it were. I don't think Leighton's alone on that, because they've been enduring a hard communist system in many ways for a long time, or at least first it was soft communism, then it was hardening under Justin Trudeau. But on the other hand, they may pull back and get somebody in there that is more Trumpian in his or her outlook, and maybe they'll say, hey, let's become Canadian again. You never know. You never know.
Well, and it's funny because Mexico, a lot of people, criminals or people that are in trouble in the United States run to Mexico, and they also go to Canada. Mm-hmm. So if Canada became part of the United States, there's not a lot of place. I mean,
nowhere to run. No place to hide, right? Yeah. Like I said, it's interesting, though, that, Leighton agreed to come on, especially the day that Justin Trudeau is rumored to be quitting. And, boy, they're real happy about it. And a lot of this also due to President Trump's influence. Quite interesting. So, hey, appreciate the call. And right now it's sort of a mental exercise more than anything. KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. We'll catch up on the rest of the news next, and then we're going to be talking another aspect of Trumpian news coming in here, the take on of the H-1B visa issue.
News this hour from town.